I didn't lose anybody. I can do another count and see. So let's go. All right. Now, we looked at the Lord's Prayer and Jesus' high priestly prayer to show us what should be the focal points of our prayer life. Now, obviously, you know, you got the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. But in terms of supplication, what should our focus be in terms of what we ask for? But we also see some other things that are prayed for in the New Testament. And some, you could do a study in the Old Testament. But again, what you will find in the Old Testament is you won't have the focus as much on Christ because he hasn't fully revealed himself yet to humanity. So really, you want to focus on the New Testament first. So let's go to the next other subjects. Other subjects of prayer include Paul prays to be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit and to know the fullness of God's love for us in Christ. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? So if I'm praying for the protection from the evil one, I also need to be praying that God strengthens me each and every day with his power, because again, I'm not going to be able to live the Christian life effectively and without it. And again, we find the subject of love, that my self-esteem, your self-esteem, your hope, and your purpose have to be grounded in God's love. And that's why I began in our prayer together, is that the value of an object is determined by the price that is paid for that object. And so what is most valuable on planet Earth? People. Because that is what Jesus Christ paid for with his life. All right, next. Spiritual enlightenment to know what we have in Christ. Knowledge is power, some say. Well, it's the right application of knowledge that's power. And when we understand what we have in Christ, that is important. Let's go. For all the saints and the proclamation of the gospel, right? We're to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're to pray every day that the gospel go out. So that's why it's so important that we support missionaries. Why it's so important that we support evangelistic efforts, both locally, nationally, and internationally. Next. But it's not just for believers. We're to pray for all people, non-believers as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us, and for those in authority. We're to pray for our government leaders, for everyone who's in authority. That's why we do that every Sunday, but every day. And the purpose is, so Paul says, so we can live tranquil and peaceful lives, right? Isn't that what you desire? Don't you want to have some peace of mind? And not just peace of mind, but peace in society? That's why we got to pray for our leaders. Next. Wisdom. If anyone asks, wisdom, what was the first thing that King Solomon prayed for when God said, I give you whatever you want? He said, I'm going to pray for wisdom. And God blessed him. He said, that is the most important thing you can pray for, because without wisdom, how can you move forward? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we're told in Proverbs 9:10, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And then finally, healing, spirit, soul, and body, I put, because James talks about if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and if he has any sins, they will be forgiven. So therefore, confess your sins to one another, and you will be healed. So you see, this is so people lose sight of this. But James 5 isn't just about physical healing, it's about spiritual healing, because what God's most important about is not the healing of the body, even though that's important, but it's the healing of the soul. Because the fact of the matter is, we're all going to die, right? And you're going to die by some type of sickness. Even old age is a sickness, okay? It's not normal. I mean, it's normal because that's what we experience, but there's a problem. That gray hair is not, now I know it means you got wisdom, which is good, but the reason why you got wisdom is because you've been here a long time. And the longer you are here, unfortunately, the body just kind of continues to shrink and shrivel. I hate it, you hate it, we all got to go through it, part of the curse. But that's why healing is not just about the body, it's about the spirit and soul. Yes? Yes, and I'm going to talk about that. That isn't really in the notes, but it is something I'm going to address. Definitely. Okay, next, please. Next subject, the practice. What should be the practice of the prayer warrior? And actually, even though we went over on there, I'm in good shape because these last two parts aren't as detailed. Okay, humility before God and others. Remember our James reading. It's not just in James. Jesus said, those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Remember when Jesus went to the dinner that a Levi was having, and some of the highfalutin religious leaders looked down on Jesus because he was eating with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and all that. And Jesus said, I did not come for the well. I came for the sick. I didn't come for the righteous. When we think we're righteous, when we think we have it all together, that is not pleasing to God. What God wants is always humility before him. We see that again, not just in James, where he says, humble yourselves, for God opposes the proud, but we see it also in 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Obviously, James and Peter, the two apostles, are simply reflecting the teachings of their Lord. And so we see the same thing on page 1215. We all need to be reminded of this, because most of our sin problem is rooted in pride. Therefore, verse 6, humble yourself. I'm sorry. Let's start at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's in caps because it's quoting the Old Testament. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, do you see the parallel too? Not just in humility, but when we were talking about deliver us from evil and lead us not into temptation, preemptive prayer. Be on the alert. The Christian life is always proactive. It's not reactive. Remember that. When we react simply through emotion and not prepared, well, usually good things don't happen. It's much better if you're going into a situation, okay, Lord. That's why praying is so important, because it actually gives you an opportunity to stop and assess things before just simply going in and doing things impulsively. Okay, but resist him firm in your faith. I don't know, but did I say, yeah, like someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And I love how Peter ends this, just as we end the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. To him be dominion forever and ever. We begin with adoration. We close with adoration. We always begin with God. We close with God. Also, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. I mean, you can't get any clearer than this of the importance of humility. Again, when we recognize our need, that is a demonstration of humility. When we pray for others, that is a demonstration of humility, because we're being other-centered. But look at this wonderful passage, one of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture, page 1175, Philippians 3 through 11. Notice what Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit or vain conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be held onto for himself, grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So after humility comes obedience. Even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him. He who humbles himself will be exalted. God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Humility before God and others. Next. Daily nourishment with God's Word. That's pretty self-explanatory. You got to get in God's Word. That means you got to have that daily food. Keep going. And I gave you the scriptures. I think most of you know. A life of repentance and obedience. So see, our prayer life flows from such things. It flows for our time in the Word. It flows from a confession and making sure we're doing what we should be doing. It flows from an attitude of humility. Be alert for the needs of others. Keep your eyes and ears open. When someone comes to you and asks for prayer, don't say, oh, another one. No, there's a reason for it. Next. Write it down. Prayer requests, answers to prayer, what God is showing you through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. Write it down on paper. You've heard me quote Ben Franklin many times. He rightfully said, a short pencil is better than a long memory. God's Word tells us to do the same. I was blown away by this. He's always preparing for this message. Over 70 times, we're told in the Scriptures to either write something down, or God talks about writing it down on our hearts. The imagery of writing it down is throughout the Scriptures. I love Jeremiah 30, verse 2. You know, that's why when these people say, oh, you know, the people were backwards and, you know, they just, everything was just orally transmitted. And while there was oral transmission, and that was very important, and that was actually very reliable, God's people wrote that stuff down. And we read in Jeremiah 30, verse 2, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words which I have spoken to you in a book. Write it down. Testimonies, write it down. What God has done, write it down. What God is teaching you, write it down. It takes extra work, but you will forget it if you don't write it down, or it becomes very vague in the recesses of your mind. I love what Habakkuk, whichever way you want to pronounce it, says in verse 2 of chapter 2, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. Luke 1:3, Theophilus. Luke was writing Theophilus. He said, I've gathered all the different accounts of Jesus and have written them down so that you may know the exact truth of what you're being told about Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:9, remember this? After the Shema is given, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind. He said, write it down on the doorposts. Write it down. So that's the practice. And before we go any further with the practice, a couple things. Remember I said there were a couple things I left out. These are the couple things I left out. And we talked about them in the sermon. But the practice of the prayer warrior is to believe, faith. Jesus said multiple times, oh, ye of little faith. Jesus said, it will be done to you according to your faith. Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus said to the disciples after they could not cast out demons, this comes by much prayer and fasting. So faith and fasting, very two important things in our prayer life that I pray believing. That doesn't mean that everything I pray is going to come true, because it's ultimately according to God's will. But we need to be assertive mindset, and that's praying by faith, praying in humility, praying by faith, praying in the name of Jesus. And I did the whole sermon. I didn't spend a lot of time today on it because we did a whole sermon on that. Praying in the name of Jesus means praying under His authority and in His power. That's what a name represents. The name of the United States. The power of the United States is in the authority it has over its people. And in the power economically and militarily it has. The power of the bank. I used the example of the credit card. The power of the bank is in the authority of the bank. its entity, but then that power is in the money that it can bring to someone. The power of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit that made everything, that is in and through everything. God is spirit. It's the spirit that actually pierces the soul and our spirit, right? And reveals us the things of God. That's the power. The authority, though, comes by virtue of what Jesus did on the cross. That because he's paid now the penalty for our sin, he has justified us before a holy God. Now I've got authority. And that's why he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, Jesus said, and then go therefore in that authority, in that power. So we always need to pray in faith and pray in the name of Jesus, recognizing his authority and his power. And then there's a third thing, and that is, and we see this throughout scriptures, it's the three P's. You've heard me say this before in different contexts. And that is, when we're praying, we need to understand three P's. Number one, and the widow and the judge, and always Jesus used that parable, I believe, of the widow and the judge who keep asking the judge. We need to be persistent in our prayer. Persistence. Now, when we get resistance, that persistence has to become what? Perseverance. Keep persevering. And all through it, we need to demonstrate patience. Wait on the Lord, right? Those who wait on the Lord, God will renew their strength, and they'll mount out with wings of eagles, Isaiah 40, right? If we're waiting on the Lord, that's patient. We have to be patient. And if God's not answering the prayer like we want it, there's a reason. He's trying to teach us something, and it's the timing. It's according to his will. Yes. Well, what you always can say is, that if she wants to not pray for patience, I mean, what's... No, you can pray for patience now because that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit are the result of walking with the Lord. But we certainly should be praying for these things too in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I mean, I there's nothing wrong with praying for self-control, right?
Right. But things have to come about in your life so that you can use this patience and practice it, and those things you might consider trials.
Right.
And tribulations.
Right.
And things going wrong.
Yes, that's
right.
What she was saying to me, is that you're praying, that's exactly what she was saying.
No. Yeah. It is. But what patience does is it, what you do is you're asking God to take you to the next level so that you are in a state that is above or transcends the immediate state you're in, so that you're no longer focused on what you're going through, but you're focused on something greater than that, and that's the Lord, and that's where your patience comes in. You say, okay, I know I got to go through this, but my focus is on the Lord. That's the same thing with peace. Peace comes, you can have perfect peace even in the midst of, you know, total chaos, if you're grounded in the Lord, because you are, the Lord's kind of taken you beyond just what's around you to a reality that is greater than just what you see. And so it's any of those things. Joy, you know, joy, there is a difference between joy and happiness. In the scriptures, you see happiness is related to the circumstances that you experience. Joy transcends those experiences because your joy comes from within you, which is through the Holy Spirit and what you have in God, rather than based on the circumstances you're experiencing. Same thing with love. Love, during the marriages, I always give the sermon on what's true love, right? And I've some occasionally on Sundays. If love is just a feeling, then it's based on your circumstances. But love transcends that. Love is a command. It's something that we do that flows out of selflessness and humility. And so in the same way, it's an internal reality that demonstrates itself in action that is not dependent upon how we feel. So you see all of these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. It's a different plane. And the only way we actually experience them is we got to move to that different plane. That's God's plane. Yeah.
I have a definition of the Greek and patience. Can I read it?
Sure.
Based on Hebrews 6:12, if you do not become sluggish lenience, forbearance, fortitude, patient endurance, long-suffering. Also included is the ability to endure persecution and ill-treatment. It describes a person who has the power to exercise revenge, but instead exercises restraint. This quality is the fruit of the Spirit.
Hey, amen. That's a good one. Yeah, so when you're in the car, you don't want to...
Yeah, I do want
to. Yes, I know. Yes, Julie?
You saw me get pulled in on Sunday.
Yeah.
We all have our interpretations and our definitions of the same thing, so God knows what truth is that we're asking for.
That's true. That is true. God knows. It helps, too, that we know, too. You know. But no, very good. Good commentary. Okay, so in terms of the practice, remember, faith in God's name, in Christ's name, and of course, the three P's, perseverance, persistence, and patience. And there's examples in the scriptures for those. Okay, last but not least, putting into practice, you'll note that there are four ministries that we want to put in, and you've got the telephone prayer chain ministry, and everyone should have a sheet of the purpose and mission of each of them. So we put down the purpose of these three. And so we've got the, what's the first one listed? What is it? Yes, the intercessory prayer group. Basically, it is a group of folks who are going to be committed on a monthly or every other week to pray for the life of the church, for the ministries of the church. Not just for the ministries, but the laity and the clergy, for our diocese and for our community, and basically for God's direction, for His protection, for that the light of Christ would shine, those type of things. And that intercessory prayer group can not only meet scheduled times during the month, but also maybe during a special event or before a special event. That would be the purpose and mission of the intercessory prayer group. The prayer chain is a group of folks who would be willing to get the needs of the parish, immediate needs of people. You know, I heard of, I'm personally going through something, I heard of a friend going through something, and please pray for them. And the best, it used to be telephone, and it can still be telephone, but if everybody has an email, that's actually even quicker. And so you can communicate those via email, and then you would be committed to praying for those folks during your personal devotional time. As well as, I think it's important to, when there is a prayer answer, to write that down, where they're at, how did it end, and keep a record of that. And then if the person is willing, there might be an appropriate context or time where we can share that testimony. And we could put that maybe in the chat or something like that, so that the ministry of the prayer chain is emphasized, both in its actual existence, but also in what is happening as a result, and that will stimulate more people to, let the request be made known to the prayer chain. I mean, how many of us have, when a loved one has been sick or there's been a struggle, that we have called other groups, other prayer chains? And so it really stimulates faith, isn't a great encouragement when you know you've got a number of people praying for whatever the issue might be. So that would be the telephone prayer chain. The next, I believe, is the lay visitation. Is that right? Lay visitation ministry. That would be a group of folks who would be willing to visit our sick and shut-in in the hospital at home, those who are homebound. The purpose would be to bring encouragement to them and your presence. That's the encouragement. And to be willing to pray with them. And it's a way that we could have supplement the clergy's ministry and to let people know that we are thinking about them, we love them, we're praying for them, and not just the clergy, but the entire church. So you're representing the church in that capacity. Very important. Not everybody will be, folks, not everybody's going to want to visit, a personal visit, but we should have it available. And what we would want to do is for our shut-ins, that would be like on a monthly basis, for those who are sick, depending on how long they're sick and how long they're shut in, it would be dependent. But certainly on a monthly basis, I think that would be a good start. We don't want to overload people either in terms of getting a visit every week. Some people might want to visit every week, but we have to be respectful of that. And then the last group would be the intercessors during a service, during communion, after the service, that you'd be willing to audibly take prayer requests and audibly pray for the person, either during communion or after a service or a special event even. So there's certain events like the Family Fun Day where we do have people available for prayer. So this would be your ministry. So those are the four ministries we're looking to establish. And certainly those of you who are here today and those who are listening by audio, you would all be worthy candidates if you feel that this is something God has called you to do. So be thinking about that, praying about it. There's also a sheet in your folders where you can let us know what you're interested in. And then there'll be a further meeting for the four groups, individually four groups, putting them together, and then leadership will be chosen. You'll see that there are what are called liaisons. I do want to thank our prayer strategy outreach team, or no, our prayer strategy team. The outreach team is another one, but our prayer strategy team, because they really helped put this whole thing together. And I appreciate Sandra Kerber's lead on that. She's the facilitator, as well as Deacon Gary Wisniewski and Marie Crosby and Mary Gamble for their work on this. But they serve as liaisons. They're not overseeing the groups, but they're simply helping with the organization and getting it started. And then there'll be a liaison between the group and the prayer strategy team, so that the prayer strategy team knows what's going on, and then they will report to me. But I had a hand up. Where was the hand? Yes.
Could you introduce those four people? I know three, but I don't write. Just so we
know. Oh, of course. I'm sorry. That's a problem with assuming things. Mary Gamble, if you could stand. Deacon Gary, if you could stand, please. Marie Crosby. And last but not least, Sandra Kerber. All right. So I want to thank them, because they really have been a great help. And how appropriate, too, that we're starting really moving in prayer first. You know, the prayer ministry, that was the first strategy, one of the first strategy teams we put together. And this is one of the first specific training sessions we've had for a specific aspect of things. And so how fitting. Okay, now these are the things you need to keep in mind, though, if you're going to be part of these four ministries. And also whenever you're engaging with people in prayer. Let's go through these. Don't worry about your ability. You know, don't worry. Oh, Father Ward, I don't know what I'm going to, you know, I don't know if I'm capable. Yes, you're capable. Don't worry about your ability. What's most important is your availability and your willingness to be used by God and to follow instructions. And when I say follow instructions, follow the Word of God. That's where humility comes in, involved. Okay, next thing. Keep all prayer requests confidential. Do not share any information that is given to you unless that person has said it can be shared. That simple. Number three, always keep the focus on God. That's in your prayers, okay? When you were praying for someone, always focus on what God is doing, what He can do. Don't get too bogged down in all the, you know, issues of the trial or the sickness. You know, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, Lord, we know you can come through. You know, no, don't pray like that, all right? God, we know you're a wonderful God. You love us, and you can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. You know, there's nothing wrong with knowing the Word and incorporating that. I just quoted the Scriptures, Ephesians, putting a little word in that prayer, because, again, it affirms the reality and truth of God. Always focus on the Lord and what He can do in our prayers. Incorporate thanking God as well in your prayers. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for bringing us to this. You know, there's so many things we can thank God, but always include that in your prayer for the person. And incorporate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've given you how you do that. Okay, now listen. God hears our prayers. You know, I know some people say, oh, Lord Jesus, and even some people say, Holy Spirit, you know, come. But it's a good habit to get into. And certainly you see this in our colics, to have all three persons of the Godhead involved. In fact, the model that we're given by Jesus is that we always begin with the Father. So Holy Father, Almighty Father, Everlasting Father, Heavenly Father, God our Father, Father God. It's always a good way to start. And then we are praying through and in Jesus' name and through the power of Christ, right? Through the power of His Spirit, See, so we address the Father, but it's through Christ and it's by Christ and His Spirit that things are actually accomplished. So it's always healthy to incorporate all three and start, though, with the Father. And what you want to avoid is repetition of the name of God, or, you know, God this and God that and God... No, you don't want too much God. Now, you can say, well, that doesn't make any sense, Father Ward. I thought you said our focus is supposed to be on God. Yes, it is. But not just on the one name that you keep repeating every sentence. Try to get away from that. Because we all know you're praying to God, right? So, and also repetition of, Lord, we just pray this cancer will go away. Take away the cancer, Lord. Do it now, Lord. Okay, that's okay. But now, Lord, we know the cancer, it's an ugly disease, and we just pray, Lord, this cancer would go away. No. See what I'm saying? Now, of course, I'm exaggerating. But we don't want to say the same type of prayer request over and over and over again, if we can help it. Again, though, it's a learning process, so don't get too torqued out of shape. Remember, it's not your ability, but it's your availability and willingness. Next. I already said that. Okay, next. Be encouraging and positive. Demonstrate faith in what God will do and is doing. So I'm reiterating what I've kind of already highlighted, but that's very important. And so to sum it all up, be proactive, be consistent. If you're consistent in your daily devotions, you will be empowered to be able to exercise your prayer ministry in any one of those four. Some of us might be more introverted. Some of us may not be comfortable praying out loud. So that might not be, some of those ministries might not be for you. So you would be more of the telephone prayer chain focus. Others maybe don't even like to visit. You know, everybody is different. There's no right or wrong, but the most important thing is that we are engaging in intercession. But I will say one thing, just as an aside, that isn't actually germane to the four ministries we've been talking about. Anytime there is a prayer meeting called, you should be there. Everyone of you should be there at a prayer meeting that's especially called by the church. Because the fact of the matter, unless you're going to other prayer meetings somewhere else, if you're doing that, then okay, I understand that. But... you know, there's a reason in God's kingdom and in God's history here, timeline. You know, I don't call prayer meetings all the time. You know, they're unique. And it's important for God's people to come in prayer. We will exercise the power of God by virtue of how much we are willing to invest in God. It's a spiritual principle. So that concludes our training session on prayer. I'd like to open it up to comments and or questions, and then we will close in prayer. Yes, Elaine. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even mention that. Yeah.
If Deacon Gary goes out to visit someone, can I go with him?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, clergy, it's a little different in terms of visitations. I personally don't like doing that. If I can, in other words, I don't like going to a female's house alone, you know what I'm saying? If I can avoid that, you know, there's usually context that I don't have to do that. But you're right. No, I think that's excellent. And take Deacon Gary, that's right. If you've got, it's just, in this day and age especially, it's just good to cover yourselves. But I'm not even talking about, it's always good to have a male and female during schedule. I think that's what we used to do, wasn't it? And so the women go to the women and the men go to the men. It's just, you know, not that there's, but you know what I'm saying? You just gotta be careful in that area. So, yeah.
With the, I didn't realize until just recently that at one time they did have the intercessory prayer during the service.
Yes.
But I've never heard it announced. I had no idea that was even there.
Well, that was a few years ago. And we had announced it for a while, but again, that was a while ago. I mean, that was like, you know, Father Cummins was still here and everything, so. Oh, of course. Once we get it going, we will announce it. In fact, we'll put it in the bulletin as well so people will know. And again, it's going to take a little while because people aren't used to it. See, what happened was that we ended up having people be able to come up after the service for the clergy and have the clergy anoint them. And one of the only downside about the clergy doing it is the fact that if people are like, oh, well, I can have Father so-and-so pray for me, I don't need to go to the lay intercessor. But now we don't have that luxury. And so this is an opportunity for the lay people to really exercise that ministry. Yeah.
If for that healing group, somebody particularly
Let the clergy know. And let them know, say, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, just please let them know. And maybe also let us know as a reminder. Because I will say, and everyone knows this, well, not everybody, but most of you know this if you've been here. It is a little chaotic at the end of a service. My mind is like going all over the place because not only am I getting done with that, but I'm also anticipating the next service coming up. And I don't mind, but everyone's coming to me, and that's rightfully so because they don't get a chance to see me at other times. So if there's a repetition, it's always good. Yeah. So, yes.
Okay, say we're on the outside and you're talking to your friends or someone else you know that needs prayer. So now you're going to come out of your comfort zone and you're going to try to do this. And you're thinking, don't drop the ball in the back of your mind. And you don't want your mind to go blank. So
keep it simple.
Try to keep it simple. Simple.
Yes. And, you know, just keep it simple.
God, ask for the request. Praise God. God, out.
Yeah, and if you and if you want assistance, remember, write it down, write an outline down. 4 points. This is what I want in the prayer. Address God the Father. Thank God. Pray specifically for the need in Christ's name through the power of the Holy Spirit. You incorporate those. That's all you need to do. Then what happens is the more you do it, it's like anything. It's like riding your bike. You know, when you first got on the bike, you were a little unsteady, and then you started getting it, and then it just became normal. Same thing with prayer. The more you do it, the better you get at it. It's that simple. Yeah.
The prayer chain, where does it start? Where would you make a call to the office?
That's a great, great question. And Rosemary, who has been a longtime member of the prayer chain, how did that begin in terms of how were the messages conveyed?
Originally, they either came from the church office to Carol Kibler, who used to be in charge of it.
Okay.
And people who knew Carol was in charge, sometimes they would call Carol.
Okay.
And from there it went on. But since then, it was always kept, it was like a secret society.
Right.
It was not really well known.
Right.
And, our names were never out there. No one knew who was on the prayer chain.
Right.
And once a year, Carol Kibler might put her name out there that if you needed prayer.
Then what we're going to do this time is once the prayer telephone prayer chain gathers together, we'll choose a leader. That leader should be very comfortable with email. And that leader will be the person, the go-to person. The church office will be. The church office then will communicate to the leader. And then if the leader then just has the email addresses, they can fire off the emails. And then those who have the email can respond back to make sure. Because sometimes when we send our emails, you know, you don't know if the person's actually gotten it. And so just fire off, I've received it. And I think that's a good way to go. Yes, Sandra? Oh, that's a good, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
This is where we're starting, and the groups have to be initiated, and then a lot of these details will be forthcoming in the orientation of the prayer group.
Right. Yep. Excellent. Were there some other questions or comments? Yeah, Rosemary, or go ahead, and then Mary, and then Sandra. So that would mean something we could change. And the way we would change that is that when anybody puts the request in, then the person who's receiving the request, that is the first request, that is the first line, is to say to that person, so the church office or the email that the person sends that request to, or the leader of the prayer telephone prayer chain, then will send a message, can you let us know if there's any change in the condition of the person, whether it's, you know, getting better or not getting better, that type of thing, after a period of time. And then, you know, maybe even a reminder for folks, knowing that probably, you know, majority might not, but at least if we go from 1% to 25%, that's a great improvement. So, but that's a good point. Yes, Bob?
Jesus cleansed 10 lepers. Only one came back. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Hey, there you go. Good. Mary, did you have something to say?
Yes, I wanted just everybody noticed on this sheet that years ago we would have the prayer time, the communion.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that you think that's a good distinction, or no?
No, I think that's
okay.
It's
good.
It's not just intercessory prayer; it is healing.
Exactly, yeah. With healing. That's right. That's the emphasis. Right. Right.
To notice that
yes. I mean, it's still intercession, but the purpose of it is more specific.
Right, and then also you were going to address the confession part.
Oh yes, thank you. I didn't. I will in a minute. Any other, Sandra or yes, Joanne. Oh, good. Okay, so let's look back at those and we'll find that and then we'll do it again once we get them. Yes?
Yeah, by referring it to healing, I don't know that. I'm not comfortable with that from the standpoint if I don't feel I need healing, I mean, I'm not ill or whatever, maybe it's just like I need help in making the decision about what job.
Well, that's a good point. That's the one drawback.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't go.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe it should be just intercessory prayer team. Right, but if we put healing, if you're trying to get a prayer for a decision, that isn't healing. That's the problem. Well, no, it's not healing. No, if I'm looking for a decision to make, I don't need healing. I need a discernment on a decision. Yeah. So yeah. Elaine. Okay, so we'll just call it the lay intercession. I mean, because you guys are the prayer team there, but then there's the visitation ministry, which are two different things.
Why can't you just put them together?
You want to put them together and have three groups?
No. Just call them the lay intercessors. That's it, the lay intercessors. Because this is the intercessory prayer group. These are the lay intercessors. So the whole idea is they're individual intercessors for the people during the service. Yeah. Good. Yeah, Sandra.
The other thing I wanted to point out with the prayer strategy team, just to give you an idea of some of the things that we're doing, we just mentioned the possibility of having a church email. And of course, there's security issues that we have to work out with that. But I have a testimony of a friend in Las Vegas. She's been in a wheelchair for years, and she does visitation ministry. And she had been going to a hospital, and there was a biker-type fellow who was very tough and was paralyzed and disassociated with his family. And she would leave her card, and we're looking at God's appointment card. And she would leave her card, and she eventually prayed with him, and he came to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, when he passed, his things went to his daughter, who he kind of can't see in years. She wound up getting a phone call out of state from the daughter because she finally she had been praying for her father and asking him. And she did not know he came to Christ. So these are the kinds of things, the support that the prayer strategy team is looking at in order to help you do the best you can and be the most effective in whatever ministry that you choose to be a part of. The liaisons will be at the back table where you signed in to answer any questions too. And if anybody feels led by the Spirit today to put that sheet and do a commitment, we would be more than happy to take it at that time.
Yeah, thank you, Sandra. There was another hand? Any other hands? Okay, let me address Mary's point.
And also, cross off healing prayer ministry group on your sheet. It should say lay intercessors.
Lay intercessors, yeah. Excellent. Mary made a great point about unforgiveness and bitterness, and that does play into sickness. It does. It's not healthy for people if they have a unforgiving spirit, because a root of bitterness, the Bible says, will spring up in that person. So where that would be necessary to be aware of would not be the telephone prayer ministry, and it would not be the, what's the one I'm missing? Oh, the intercessory prayer group, you know, that's praying for the church and the ministry of the church and all that. I mean, they can include that in terms of the general sense. But where would be an issue specifically would be the person coming during the service. And if you have a, if it's a physical ailment, that's all right, one thing. But if someone is saying some has emotional, just says, you know, you can ask them, you know, have you forgiven them, something like that. But be very sensitive. When it comes to visitation, that's a little different, where you can kind of delve into it. But here's the thing. You're not going in there as a counselor. You're not going in there as a priest. So you have to be very careful not to get too into things. But you can certainly, you know, talk about, you know, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and, you know, help us to forgive any hurts and from the past, because that's where it would come up. If a person has unforgiveness, it's because they have a hurt from the past that is still bothering them. And you can certainly, you don't have to be a counselor to know this. You can go down that route of, you know, have you forgiven them? But be very careful, because you don't want to get preachy when you're there. You don't want to talk about yourself at all, unless it pertains to what that person is going through and can be an encouraging word. You don't want to get too cliche. I put flippant there, not meaning being disrespectful, but sometimes we can be, oh, it's all going to work out. You know, there's some people like that, right? And while they mean well, for the person who's going through the stress, you know, and if someone's in a lot of pain, oh, don't worry, you're going to be fine. They don't want to hear that. The most important thing is your presence and you being willing to listen to them. You can give them a little encouraging word from the Lord, but to pray for them. That is your mission as a visitor from St. Bartholomew's. And of all the ministries that are probably the most personal and have the greatest measure of responsibility, because you are representing the church, it would be the visitation ministry, because you're entering into someone else's house and home. That's why women should not visit men at the home, and men should not visit women alone at the home. And so whoever is going to be part of that visitation ministry, obviously we're going to need to, you know, just make sure you're trained up and know who you are and all of that. It's a little more, there's a little more involved than the other three, but it's very important. And some of you have already been involved and were trained with Father Mollison and so forth. So, okay, any other? Yes, Rich.
Real quickly, in Kairos Prison Ministry, we use the listen, listen, love, love.
Oh, that's good. Listen, listen, love, love. Okay.
And the other thing is, it probably doesn't apply here, but in the prison ministry, if anybody would ever come to you and want to confess some type of crime they did, we cannot.
No, you guys don't.
Do that.
No, just refer them to me. Yeah. Yeah,
for
them to me.
Obligated by law to report the authorities. Not that would probably be an issue, but...
Well, but still, no, I think that's wise.
Yeah.
All right, great. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so your homework is threefold. To review what we covered today and to continue to do it as much as you can. So that's one, two. And then three, to prayerfully consider being a part of these ministries, to fill out the sheet and get that back to us so we can get in touch with you and form the four groups formally. And if you know any others in the church who want to be a part of this and couldn't, let me know, and we'll try to incorporate them as well. Yes, Julie, you had a question or a comment?
Thank you.
Oh, well, it's very simple. The intercessory prayer group meets as a group. The lay intercessors are individuals who pray for people during the service or during events. So the lay intercessors are simply people who've been trained to pray with people audibly and personally during a service or after a service. Yeah.
I was actually going to wait and speak to you just while I'm on this, but healing prayer is a gift. And some people have that specific gift. And that's why I checked the healing prayer box. But now I'm not sure. Because I'm not an intercessor. I'm not comfortable praying for someone about all these special things.
Well, that's a good point. Now, here's the other way to think about it. If you remember how I said God is not concerned about your ability, and certainly there is an element of giftedness that you're talking about. But when it comes to prayer, I believe God, even if I've got a more focus on healing prayer, and that's where I really feel energized by the Spirit, I think there's something to be said to expanding that in your own prayer ministry so that it becomes more inclusive than exclusive in that area. So that even if you're not comfortable praying for something other than healing, you can say, okay, this is something I can grow in, A. B, I can use the same principles that I apply with the healing prayer to anything else, because any other issue is an issue that's important for that person to fulfill the will of God, just as healing is important, either the actual healing or the lack thereof. There's the element of, becoming into the will of God. And so you are a conduit for that. So I would certainly realize that 50% of the people who come for Lee intercessors, and again, Mary and Rich would be able to attest maybe more accurately, is going to be focused on healing. But that other 50% would probably be just asking for strength to get them through a difficult situation, or for wisdom, or even it might be unforgiveness too, which is an aspect of healing. So I think that even though we're not calling it healing prayer, we're going to include the fact that if you want prayer for healing, this is, or if you need help in certain areas, this is the purpose for it. And if there's an issue where people are coming up and really asking for not maybe the best things, I don't know. If you in your spirit say there's something might be a little off on this, then I want you to report that back to me. It's very important to keep me in the loop. You don't have to share names or anything unless it's something that it's of a problematic nature. Chances are it's not going to happen, but we need to be prepared in the event that you have someone who might not be, there might be something off. So does that answer your question? Yes.
And I feel like there's a place to have healing prayer time.
Yes, that would be the time.
That's what I would be called for,
right,
more than a general intercessory prayer time.
Right.
So I was kind of...
Well, what I would suggest is...
Or maybe alternate.
Yeah, although me personally, if you were going to ask for my advice in your situation, I would say I would want to get experience, though, praying for people, in addition to praying for people for a healing service. So that even though that might not be something you want to do as regular, as someone who might be in that lay intercessor prayer, but certainly it helps getting, the more experience you get with all of this, the better it is. Just, it's like anything in life, So, yes. Certainly we can talk about something in terms of an addition at the meeting. Yeah, at the meetings. But I remember too, lay intercessors, that ministry is not just for services on Sunday and Saturday. It's for special events. It's for special services. So there's going to be different aspects to it and different emphases to it. So we could talk more about it. But that would be the main group, because certainly you wouldn't get it from the telephone prayer ministry. You wouldn't necessarily get it from the visitation ministry, and you wouldn't get it from the intercessory prayer group. So that's why I would encourage people to still stick with it. And then if there is maybe a focus that you want to, you can still, you know, be a part of it, but not necessarily, you know, be at every aspect of it. So does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What you're talking about is there was a card. It was a prayer card. It was a formal prayer card. We have to look. I don't know if we have any left, but it used to have a picture. One of the reasons why we discontinued it is that some of them used to have a picture of the old sanctuary. And but then there were some others that, but I think we ran out of them, actually, because that was years ago. We certainly could develop one, though. That's certainly a nice idea, and it's certainly something we could develop. Or we could just make an announcement at 11, too, if anybody wants to.
Well, but there are three other services that we have, too.
Certainly. Of course, those three other services, how would that be?
Well, because people donate flowers.
Oh, I know. I just meant, though, the three other services. Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. Yeah, I mean, because they would have to be taken, though, after the 11 o'clock service.
Okay.
They couldn't be taken right before that. Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Right. Right, right.
Of course, we don't get.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll try to keep that in mind, certainly, when we get the visitation ministry established. And anything else? Okay. Well, thank you for coming. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you again for just your word and for your Holy Spirit and how your Holy Spirit uses your word and our relationship with you to accomplish your will in our lives and in the lives of our community. We thank you for this church family, and we pray that you would help us continue to grow to be prayer warriors for you, and that what we began here today would not end but would actually flourish, and more people would be connected to the prayer ministry of St. Bartholomew's, so that lives could truly be changed from the inside out. Pray for Traveling Mercies. And we also pray for a couple individuals, specifically Joe Morey, who is dealing with kidney failure and heart failure as a result of a long illness, only 65. And Lord, we know that his family loves him. And we just pray for your mercy as he struggles in the hospital, that he would actually sense your presence, be filled with your peace. And we just pray that good would come out of this and that he would regain strength, Lord. We pray for healing. We also will continue to pray for Daryl Anello, Diane's brother, who is fighting cancer and looks like he'll be going into hospice care. We just pray, Lord, for the family and pray for strength, and just pray that your will would be done in his life, and that you would that his faith would actually become stronger as he approaches that time where he sees you face to face. We pray for all of our health and all that is going on, and that you would protect us and heal those that we love that might be fighting the flu or any other ailment. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.